You know, this past several weeks, one of the essential truths and one of the things that we need to know as believers in Christ is that not only is God here for us, but God hears us. And this is why this is such an important message that each one of us can take with us all throughout our whole entire day, is realizing that you're never alone, that God is speaking to us in so many different ways. And if you have your Bibles, if you would, go ahead and turn to the main text where we have been camping out on in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, where Jesus Christ is going to share a parable to common people, just like you and I, to be able to understand and to be able to take in truly the whole concept and the idea of being able to hear God's word and doing something with it. But as we know in life, life gets sometimes the best of us. Sometimes things happen in our daily walk with the Lord, or and even people that may not even have a relationship with Christ that need to hear this parable. And so Jesus knew his audience. Jesus knew exactly who he was talking to. And Jesus knows exactly who he's talking to right now. It's God's words that speaks today. So as we turn to Luke chapter 8, I want to just be able to read what we've done so far in verses 4 through 6. And here where Jesus is talking, the parable of the farmer that's scattering his seeds, that's broadcasting his seeds all upon the field, all upon all the listeners out there. And who is going to be able to hear his word? Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 6 says this. And then one day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that has gathered from many towns to hear him. And a farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered, as he broadcasted it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. And other seeds fell among the rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died in a lack of moisture. And these two soils, the first soil, just as a reminder, is where are the people's hearts. Sometimes people's hearts and their minds are very hardened. Sometimes we are very narrow-minded and not want to listen to what God may have to say to us. And so because of that, it's very difficult to be able to cultivate anything, any good fruit in your life. You won't be able to hear God's word if it's just constantly bouncing off the hardness of our soul and our spirit and not being receptive and not being ready at all to hear God's word. The second soil that he just mentioned a second ago is that sometimes we do hear God's word. We come to church, or you may hear someone show up at your door or talk to you about something spiritual in your life, and you're very receptive to it. You're excited to hear God's word. You're hearing something new for the first time. You're hearing something that's life-changing. You're hearing something that's transforming. You're hearing something that can radically change your life, and you get excited. You may walk the aisle. You may say yes to the Lord. You may end up being receptive, but all of a sudden, and even though you may receive it with complete joy, the Bible says, unfortunately, it becomes very shallow. And just like in the nation of Israel, all the land there that they were farming on, the soil had great rich soil, but the problem was the bedrock. The bedrock, they had to break up the bedrock. They had to break up the limestone to be able to get inside of it and to be able to go deeper so that the roots can go deeper. And so oftentimes, in this particular illustration, and the farmers knew it, that even though you may be able to receive the message, you may be excited about what you're hearing, you got experience to be able to see Jesus and do a miracle in this person's life and in your life, and then all of a sudden, weeks or months or years later, and you're wondering, where is God in my life? Why does nothing seem like things are working out? God, are you even listening to me? Have you even answered my prayers? Why don't I feel your presence? and we can look at seeing, where are you? It's possible. It's possible that there are no deeper roots, that it's all it's done is gone into the bedrock and began to wilt away. And it's very difficult to be able to have that. And oftentimes kids come back from camp and they have this spiritual high. And then when they get back to normal life, or when people walk down the aisles, and then all of a sudden we don't see people for months, or we see them during Easter or Christmas, and we're like, you've missed so much throughout this journey in your life. Oftentimes in life, and even back in biblical days, people are entertained by God's miracles, but they never become the miracle. They never allow God to do the miracle in their life. They can watch it and they can be entertained and say, man, do that again. Instead of looking at their own life, they may stay up in the tree and watch from a distance. And God said, you come down from the tree and let me transform your life. Let me come in and sup with you and you sup with me. Let's change your life. You got to get from the distance and begin to walk to me. And it's your decision. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming out and being able to hear my message. But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Peter, jump out of the boat and come walk. Where are we in our relationship and our walk with Christ? Moses, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. I got something I want to do through your life. And as we begin to talk about the first soil and the second soil, and now we're about to get into the third soil, I've also been sharing with you, and I don't know if you've noticed, another part of these truths to understand how to hear God's word. And the first thing is that we must be willing to cultivate an open heart and an open mind. Because if you're not open-hearted, if you're not open-minded, if you're not ready and eager to hear God's word, you won't. If you're here at church for any other reason besides to hear God's word and to worship Him, you are not going to hear Him. You have to be willing. You have to be ready. You got to be humble. You got to be broken and say, I am eager to hear from you, Lord. And the other thing is that you have to be willing to listen. We can't be in such a hurry all the time. I'd use the illustration that if you're flying, you're only going to see a little bit. If you're in a train, you're going to see a little bit more. If you're driving in a car, you're going to see a little bit even more. But when you're walking with God, you will see the whole picture of everything in front of you. We are flying by life so fast that we are missing the opportunity to hear God speak. And He wants to. And this morning, I want to share another way that we must be able to hear God and things that we must and that is to eliminate distractions that keeps us from hearing God's word. We got to eliminate some of the distractions. Now, I know that we all got a lot of things going on in our life. And there are a lot of distractions that happen, intentionally and unintentionally, that's just going on. But we can't hear God if our mind is crowded with other things. Have you guys ever been to a restaurant and you're trying to sit down and you're talking to your spouse or you're talking to your friends and you're like, what? And the music is so loud that you cannot even have even a conversation and you're just like, forget it. I can't hear you. You can't hear me. We're just going to eat and then we'll talk when we get home. Has anyone ever been to a concert and you're like trying to talk and you can't because it's blaring? Has anybody ever been to basically anything that would keep you going to the movies? I mean, they're giving you every warning. Get off the phone. Please be silent. All the different things are coming. And then you always end up seeing like you're sitting next to someone that wants to talk through the whole entire thing. Eric and I and Pierce went to this fundraiser, Guns and Hoses boxing fundraiser for the fire and police department. And it was just awesome. And I love boxing for lots of different reasons, but But it was awesome because we had the best seats. I mean, great seats. We showed up early. We're sitting there eating our food, obviously, and we're right there. But the speakers are just going, they're so loud. I mean, just blaring. And I really couldn't even hear my son talking. He was like, I was like, I don't even know what you're saying. Just eat your hot dog. And it was so loud, but we couldn't even have a conversation. And then what made it even worse, during every single fight, the announcer that was talking that should have just given them the information about the two boxers and then shut up. But no, this guy was just talking throughout the whole entire match. I was praying that those two guys in the ring would turn around and just knock that dude out. Just so that we could hear, just so that we could actually just experience the good fight. And it's amazing how many distractions that are constantly coming our way. And we do this all the time when God is speaking to us. There's times that I think that we just need to get alone. There's times that we just need to go grab a coffee or go to a park or go into maybe one of your offices or to a library or just get in the car and go drive around 635 or do something. Wherever you can get alone, do you have a hangout spot for God? Do you? Do you have a hangout spot for God? Do you have a place you say, this is the place that I'm going to go for my refuge? This is the place that I'm going to go to my solitary place and I'm going to pray? This is the place that I feel like I can hear God the most? Where is your place? Where is it that you could go every single day so that God and you can talk to each other and actually be able to hear each other and just rest and be still before the Lord? In verse 7, Jesus continues to share this parable. Verse 7. And other seeds fell among the weeds or the thorns, depending on your version, that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. The third type of soil, the one with the weeds and the thorns in it. Here the seeds have begun to cultivate. Here the seeds are beginning to allow the fruit and the plant is beginning to grow. And as it does, what also is growing with it? The weeds and the thorns are also coming around and they're doing something. They're choking out the plant. It never has an opportunity to bear its fruit because it's being choked out. There's no time for it to be able to even produce. And so I'm thinking about when Jesus is giving this message to the farmers, he's looking at them and he's saying, what's going on around you in your life right now that's choking you out, that's keeping you from being able to bear fruit in your life, that's keeping you from being able to hear me, meaning God? He's asking, what's going on in your life? Because I see it, and I know it, but I need you to see it. I need you to know it, because you may not be able to hear me right now. Jesus is so awesome because he explains what the meaning is. So let's look at verse 14. Verse 14, as we skip through, it says, the seeds that fell among the thorns represents those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out, watch this, by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into what? Maturity. Now, this is not Pastor Troy's saying this. This is Almighty God. He's giving you the reasons why we are getting choked out. We are having a hard time from hearing God's word. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you, either in your bulletin or in your Bible, I want you to underline something here. In your text, it's either going to say, as they go, or it's going to say, all too quickly. I want to ask you, are you always on the go? Are you always on the go as they go, or all too quickly, or are you always on the go, always doing something. Now, there's something about working hard. There's something about doing something, about having action. There's no doubt about that. But if your whole life is just about doing, going from the one thing, the next thing, the next thing, the one thing, and all of a sudden you haven't made any time to just stop and just be there with God. Now you can say, well, Troy, I was taking God with me everywhere I was going. Really? I hope that that's the case. But I have to be honest, there are times I go and bring God with me, and there's other times I'm going to say, why don't you sit here for a little bit? I'll be back in 2 hours, and then I'll come back and pick you up because we got to go to church, or we got to go do this, or we got to do that, or I don't really want you to see this, or I don't want you to hear this, God, and I don't want you to experience this, and this part is, I don't think I even want to hear what you're going to say about this. And so we go. And the Bible says to be still and know that I am God, Psalms 46:10. He also says in Psalms 62:5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. And Job 6:24 said, Job said, teach me and I will be silent. Sometimes we just need to be taught how to be silent. For some of us, sitting still is absolute torture. Is there anyone in here that, like, sitting still, like, even, like, 15 minutes, you're, like, ready to go right now? Don't tell them. For some of us, sitting still is absolute torture. And I get it. Sometimes, I mean, I watch my kids at school. I mean, I got 147 kids I teach. And by seventh period, nobody even wants to look at me. Okay? And there's times I know I'm watching out here, and I got a good 15 minutes, and after that, I know there's people that don't even want to look at me. It happens, and we get it. I think God gets it. But for some of us, sitting still is torture, but to God, it's crucial. To God, it's essential. To God, it's necessary. And to God, it's life-changing. We have to be willing to sit still, even as hard as it may be. Even if you fall asleep, I'm praying that God's message and word will still go inside your heart and your soul. Because sometimes the best way to hear God is sitting in a recliner chair and just being still. I'm just being honest. Just sitting there and just thinking and let God just speak to you. And just let Him and just get everything out off your mind. It's okay. And if you fall asleep, then you fall asleep. But just give it over. Just rest in Him. Rest in Him. Don't rest right now, though, in Him. I just put everybody asleep. I'm not a psychologist, okay? You know, Jesus was God, and He still stopped. He reflected. He prayed, and He talked to His Father. Over 68 times in the New Testament, you can see where Jesus stopped to pray to His Father and even taught this personal truth to every single person that He came in contact with. It is so essential to be able to stop. And He got away from people. And He just said, I need to go and I need to do this, so I can be within my Father, because I'm about my Father's business, and you can't know about your Father's business unless you are in understanding, you are in His Word, and He is speaking to you. Business will rob you of your joy in Christ, just like not forgiving someone. If you can't forgive somebody, it will rob you of your joy. And if you're constantly staying busy, it's also going to rob you of your joy. I want you to underline the next word here, choke. Underline it, don't do it. This word choke, in the original Greek, it means to be stressed out. It means that you are being pulled in different directions all the time. There's something that Jesus probably knew 2,000 years ago, especially with farmers and dealing with every single thing in life and what these people are dealing with. And the same thing he knew what was going to happen 2,000 years ago is what's going to happen thousands and thousands of years later, that we would all feel at times that we are being choked, that we are being stressed, that we are going to be pulled in many, many directions. Can I get an amen, parents? So that's real life. We get oftentimes, your bosses are demanding this and this time span, and your husband may demand this and your wife demands this and people demand this on you, and you have all these things in your finger. I don't have enough time in my day, and especially to sit and be still when I got to get everything done. And the life of you is being choked out. But I'm going to tell you, have you ever noticed when you ever got sick that you don't do anything? I was laying in bed. I'm just going to be right here on this toilet and put my cold head on this toilet because it feels so good. You know, in any other circumstance of life, you would never do that. But when you're sick, it's like the best place in the world. Isn't that weird? That's a side message. It's funny, though, when we get sick, we seem like we can stop. Maybe the medicines can stop. Maybe the complaining can stop. Maybe all the different things that are happening in our life can stop when we stop getting choked out by so many things. Oftentimes in life, guys, we are playing catch up from last year. You ever notice that? We're playing catch up from last year. We're playing catch up from last month. We're playing catch up from last week. We're playing catch up from yesterday. Whether we lost our sleep, whether we lost our money, whether we lost our time, whether we lost our relationship, whether we lost whatever, we're always, sometimes we're just, seems like we're always just playing catch up. It's like paying the minimum on a credit card, on a $1 million debt. Talk about stress. I give up on that one. Or you could say, you know what? I need someone to pay that off for me. Someone that has the power, someone that has the ability to pay the debt that I cannot pay. Amen. And Jesus has a word for this. And it came from Robert, verse of the week. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 is Jesus that said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry these heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let me teach you." You got to be silent for me to be able to teach you, though. You got to be humble for me to be able to teach you. You can't be too busy for me to teach you. You got to be willing to stay in one place so I can teach you the whole lesson. Because I am humble and I am gentle at heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. No one is going to offer you that. Except for Jesus Christ. This is why I need every single day to keep this as my daily verse. Not just the daily verse of the week, but the daily verse of my life. And I don't know if you noticed that there was three things that was choking out that Jesus says. I'm going to run through this quickly. Number one was worry. Worry are the weeds and thorns that Jesus said is stressing people out. What's stressing you out right now? Is there something on the top of your list that is stressing or worrying you right now that you need to cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you right now? How can God help you? What do you need from God right in hell? Have you asked Him? Are you feeling like you're too insignificant? Or you feel like He's probably too busy? Or do you feel like He's too far away? Or do you feel like He's only going to answer the ones that the people got the big problems? You're not insignificant to God. And your problems are not too small and your problems are not too big. He wants it all. So what can you, right now, what can you say to God? How can God help you? He would like to know that. Talk to Him. How can I help you? You can't ever say someone doesn't want to help you. So I'm going to end up saying it for you. How can I help you? You're too busy. You're too this. Oh, you're too that. Or you can't do that. Or you're not whatever. Okay? How can they help you? How can they help you? I don't know if you know this or not, but most people are not very good at reading people's minds. Ask them. Most people are not very good at reading minds, of knowing what's going on inside your spirit and your soul right now, unless you convey it and you tell them. And you may have to humble yourself. You may have to tear down a wall, and you may have to end up saying, okay, you seem like a person I can trust here. Will you help me? I could really use some help right now. Sometimes we don't get because we don't ask. Sometimes people don't know to help you unless you ask. That's one thing I am having to do, because pride gets in my way all the time. Sometimes I'm just scared to ask for help. Sometimes I don't want to be vulnerable. And neither do you sometimes. Right? Some of you guys may ask all the time, and no one's helping me. I ask this person and this person and this person. The second thing Jesus mentions really quick is that the riches. So often people are worried about making so much money that they forget about making a life. They think money is the life. So often we are worried about making so much money that we are forgetting on how to make a life. Money does not make a life. Your relationship with people make a life. Your relationship with God makes a life. Everything else is a blessing on top of that. But so often we think it's got to be coming around money all the time, and it's not. Our life is but a vapor, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes from Solomon. There's a story of a rich woman who, unfortunately, she took her life. And I was listening to this story, and I read about it. And this woman, when she committed suicide and at a funeral, a man came up to her son. Dark day at the funeral. And this man who had known her son and knew this lady so well said, I am so sorry to hear about your mom. I don't understand. See, she had so much to live for. And her son said, no, she had much to live on. She felt like she had nothing to live for. Even people with money cannot experience this true, abundant, and eternal life that God has to offer. John 10:10, John 3:16. We have to be willing to look at the weeds and the thorns that are choking us out. The stress, the worldly things, the persecution, the storms, the dangers and toils that are coming. You remember the song Amazing Grace? 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. You got the storms, you got the dangers, you got the toils that are coming. But there's hope in Jesus Christ to bring you home. And the third thing is the pleasures that he mentions. And can I be honest with you? There's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, God is the creator of all pleasure. He invented pleasure. He invented the whole idea of the Garden of Eden. He invented all these great pleasures of life. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. You have the freedom in Christ to enjoy many great things. games, phones, TVs, houses, cars, boats, deer leases, toys, a moped, hobbies, vacations. All of these are great, wonderful things, and add on to it whatever you want. Whatever you want, God has given you these abilities and these pleasures to enjoy. But if we are so busy experiencing all the fun, we can easily ignore what? His son. When I'm writing this, I begin to start thinking of all the things that I enjoy doing and how often I want to do things, and just being able to watch TV or just being able to do certain things and enjoy those type of things and watching a good football game. And then there's other times that, what about the sinful, the evil pleasures that we're doing on top of all the other that are good pleasures? And we wonder why we're getting choked out, because there's so much around us that nothing can blossom. Titus 3:3 says this: once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled by others and became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Can I ask you something as we're talking about this farming? What must we do to get weeds in our garden? What do we do? How can we get weeds in our garden? Absolutely nothing, right? There's not a single thing that we have to do to get weeds. I have never, not once, since I've owned my house, ever once planted weeds. Next to my plants, next to my rose bushes, I've never done that, ever. But do you know what I have next to my rose bushes and plants? That's outside my patio right there. That is outside. I decided while I was writing this, I'd go outside and take a picture of that, because I was curious. I wonder what's out there growing. And guess what? There was a lot of weeds. You never have to cultivate weeds in your yard. They just automatically grow. And here's the convicting part as I begin to write a little bit more. Weeds are a sign of neglect. That was convicting. My busyness, my laziness, my neglectfulness is choking out that plant that you just saw right there. It is being squashed, and it is choking out, and it is not going to grow. And the same thing goes on for us spiritually. So here's a $1.50 question as I begin to close up here. Are there things that you are neglecting in your spiritual life right now? Are there anything right now going on in your life that you feel like you too are neglecting, that's keeping you from bearing fruit with the Lord? Are there fruit trying to produce, but there is no chance? There's no chance for it to happen because they're being choked out. And you can pray it all day long. There was a story in the Bible where God spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:9 through 18, and we're not going to read the story. But the Lord was speaking, and the Lord was not in the wind, and the Lord was not in the earthquake, and the Lord was not in the fire. But in verse 12 in Elijah, 1 Kings 19, the voice came from the Lord in a small, low, what? Moses got fire, some of them got thunder, a few others got some dreams, but Elijah got the what? With a whisper. And you cannot be able to hear a whisper unless you are what? Silent. Be still and know that I am God. Church, we are blessed to have a loving God that wants to talk to you every single day, that wants to listen to you every day, and that wants to do life with you every single day. Matthew 11:15 says this as I close: he who has ears, let them hear. John says the same thing as he writes the book of Revelation through the churches. He who has ears, let them hear what the Word of God, what the message has to say right now. So this week, let's cultivate an open heart and mind and be ready. Let's make time to listen, to walk slowly to hear God's Word. And let's begin to eliminate some of the distractions that's choking out the opportunities for us to be able to hear God. These are great truths to be able to hear God speak. As I close, I just wanted to mention that we know that there are a lot of people in this church that are really hurting right now. There's a lot of people that are sick, and there's a lot of people that needed to hear this. And there's a lot of people right now, we all, by the way, and I'll share with you next week as I wrap this up, we could be at any one of these places at any time. At any time. So I'm asking, as a church, as we close, lift these people up in prayer. I would not stop and say this right now if it were not true what's going on right now in this church. This is an amazing church, but there are people right now that really, really need you and need to be praying and lifting these people up. So let's do that today. Let's do that. Wherever you are, or the altar is yours, just however you want to do it, just come as you are. And let's listen to God this week. I love you guys very much. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to just share your scriptures and to be transparent. And I pray each person here is transparent also with you. For God, that's how you can work through each and every single one of us. And Lord, that you know where each and every single one of us are. I pray that God, that we would not be narrow-minded and hard-hearted where this message right here just bounced off of us and there's no change. I pray that we're not just people that are going to receive this for 10 minutes or for this hour or for this day and then forget about everything that was just shared and become shallow in our faith. I pray that, Father, that even though that we are desiring to want to grow and to bear fruit and to be placed in this rich soil, I pray that, Lord, that you would help us with all the distractions and all the things that are coming in our way as believers that's keeping us from bearing this fruit because we are being choked out by so much. We need to come to you. We need to be able to be silent before you. We need to be in a place that, God, that we can say, this is my refuge with you. And I pray that that is the heart and the desire of each person. For that is what you were trying to get across 2,000 years ago to ordinary people that just needed to be able to just to hear a simple message and be able to apply their life. I pray that, God, that we will not walk out of here not wanting and desiring to bear fruit and to hear from you until the day we give our last breath. We love you. We give you this time of invitation that you would speak to us and that we would be there for those people that now that are in need. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.